Webcasting live the good news. This is the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, April 23rd, 2008. The only April 23rd, 2008 in the history of humanity. Welcome in on this Wednesday night, helping you over the hump. This is Glenn Klein online. And now, from north of the border, in beautiful Kelowna, British Columbia, Mr. Michael Williams. Hey!
Hola. Oh, wrong border.
Yeah, that's not what they
say.
Hey! They go, hey!
I'm here.
How's it going up there in the north, you know?
It's going very, very good. I had some very good meetings. We have a new series, a 5-CD series. Coming out of Calgary, it's all tucked away in the studio.
you don't know what it's going to be called yet, though, do you?
You what?
I said you don't know what it's going to be called yet, do you?
Something along the lines of actually what you had in the email. Of God having faith in us. The upside down kingdom.
The upside down kingdom.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, this is the Upside Down Kingdom's webcast. Glenn Klein online, Michael Williams in Canada, Sean O'Halloran, engineering and producing and call screening, and Kristen Sherrah back in the house after a week's hiatus. So we have our studio audience ensconced. Michael's in Canada. We want to hear from you tonight on the Glenn Klein online toll-free hotline at 1-800-436-3260. And last week, we were fortunate enough to have a call from a gentleman in Portland, I believe, early on. And it really, ladies and gentlemen, I cannot encourage you enough that if you're listening live and it's Wednesday night between 9 and 10 o'clock Eastern time, your participation live really makes a huge difference. Because we get to know what you're thinking and what you're feeling and what you're experiencing and what you're seeing. So whether you've called before, haven't ever called, it doesn't make a difference. 1-800-436-3260 is the number to call. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. We've got questions on the email, but you can also feel free to email us your questions or comments, as always, at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, webcast@gospelrevolution.com. But we do really want to encourage you to pick up the phone and let us hear from you live if you are listening live. We know a lot of folks listen on the archive, so you can't call in obviously then. But if you're listening live right now, please participate. One more time, 800-436-3260. So we've got the Upside Down Kingdom being shared in Canada. And there are some other interesting insights that you've been having lately. Regarding the Old Testament patriarchs and even the New Testament figures of the Bible, yearning for another city, yearning for a better time, yearning for a just reward at the end of the day. And
we went into that last night here in Kelowna.
We want to hear a little bit about that, but I found it interesting. We were talking about this, and then it occurred to me that the polygamous cult in Texas that has been raided by state officials down there, in your neck of the woods, Mikey, that place, that compound is called Yearning for Zion. That's their name.
I know.
And that could be a good name for a good old charismatic Word of Faith church or Baptist church or whatever. Yearning for Zion. That pretty much sums it up.
No doubt, it really does.
Not the healthiest perspective.
No, viewing anything about the gospel as something that you're still looking for, yearning for, seeking after, pursuing, drawing closer to, trying to, all of it falls in the same category. And any time that there is an awareness of something lacking, something not fulfilled, something not done, you really do fall into a very hazardous category, spiritually speaking and mentally and emotionally speaking, because you become subject to the whims of others certainly not able to do what we've advocated over the years, and that is to follow your heart. That's, you know, people find it very strange to hear that all you're supposed to do is follow your heart. But when the gospel comes alive in your heart, there really is, Glenn, nothing left to do. Why do we follow our hearts? Because there's nothing left to do. And the people who still think there's something left to do or to be gained, they will tell you, well, you can't just follow your heart. Well, just follow my heart. Well, what does that mean? It gets so difficult to conceive of when the mindset is still holding things in reserve about the scriptures, the fulfillment of the cross, or having yet obtained or received something from God. Following your heart just doesn't make sense unless you have a perspective of all things being fulfilled at the cross.
Well, the other thing about following your heart is that even if somebody doesn't think that that's a good idea or that they even do that, the reality is that's exactly what we all do anyway.
Yes, absolutely. You either do it with guilt and hesitation and reservation, regret, or with joy and peace. You have nothing else to follow. But, man, I tell you what, you talk about getting paralyzed. Just the issue of trying to find the will of God. Oh, my goodness. You talk about a deliverance for my life personally is not pursuing the will of God. I'm not seeking the kingdom of God. I'm not seeking his righteousness. I remember saying that the first time to a charismatic group, that I have ceased to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And man, what a shockwave went through that church building when I shared that and told them the reason that I was not seeking it anymore is because I finally understood through the scriptures that I already had the kingdom of God and already had his righteousness. So what was I seeking for? So it really was a turning point. It was a turning point for me. It will always be a turning point for me. And later. And so
you have like a visitor there?
Yeah, Ken's asking when we need him. So.
Oh yeah, Ken Vanderveer is going to join us later. Who's up there with Michael?
Yeah, which is the reason I'm saying later. He's going to be on later. So. it really is a powerful thing to get out from under all of those pursuits, all of those requirements, and realize that it is not our pursuit of God that is the power of this kingdom. It is God's pursuit of us. And, believe me, he caught us. He captured us. He led us out of the prison of unrighteousness and led us straight into captivity to his righteousness. And what an awesome thing to understand, but it does sound strange to just simply follow your heart, even though it is, as you said, that's the only thing we've got to follow. But people have to spiritualize it. They have to believe that that God's telling them something, or that's the devil talking, or we have to. Anything to keep from taking the responsibility for the freedom, and as you always point out to us, responsibility is the ability to respond to the freedom that we have as those who have completely and totally resolved that the cross is our final answer. And our final answer is, we've locked it in,
Well, I love this part, and I want to get into it a little deeper, but of course people say, well, if you follow your heart, then you're doing whatever you want. Then
yeah.
If you want to kill somebody, can you kill somebody? They always ask. And I love responding with this question, do you want to kill somebody?
Yeah.
And of course they say no. I say, good, then don't.
Yeah, follow your heart.
nobody who ever kills somebody... murder somebody didn't want to. They
no, that's
or at least hurt them. The death might have been accidental, but somebody that imposes physical harm on somebody intends from their heart to do them wrong. And all the legalism and all the preaching and all the religion and all the soul-saving, it could be argued that it's made it worse.
Yeah.
But, Michael, rehearse with the beautiful human some of Jesus' commandments that are no longer valid. Like we were
well,
talking about the other day.
Well, we've gone through a few of them.
Yeah.
You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God, draw nigh to God, and draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You know, my mind's drawn blank on a lot of them right now. But
that's the food coma kicking in after your rib.
Yes, it is.
Dinner.
Yeah, no doubt.
Mike just had supper there in beautiful Kelowna, preparing for a meeting here coming up. What time's that meeting start?
Well, it starts the very minute that this broadcast ends. So. for sure. One of the statements that Jesus said was that no man cometh to the Father except by me. And we had that question come up, you know, even over in Calgary. And I opened my mouth to answer it, and I said, well, that is true, but the fact of it is that no man comes to God through Jesus. That's what Jesus gave us the option, just like he gave us the option to believe. He gave us the option to obey, and he gave the human race the option to come to God through him. But you see, it's still through him, except that God came to us through Jesus. And Paul's teaching very much dramatically describes that incredible switch, if you will, that upside-down kingdom, where that it is not we who have pursued God, it is God who has pursued us. And in fact, when he you know, gave the instructions about having faith and said, you know, this is a group of people that there is no faith. And because of their failure to have faith, he didn't say, I'm going to go get a group of people now that does have faith. He said, I'm going to make a people mine that are not a people. And then in the plan included even the people who failed at faith and those who believed in nothing, and united himself. He united himself to the human race in a very profound and very drastic way. The power of the kingdom of God is not found in us trying to do anything. It is simply when we come to that resolve in our heart, and we begin to see ourselves and other people in the same light as to which God sees us and them. And, you know, I'm here with the Duncalfs, Mert and Ray. And their transformation, you know, from the religious mindset, and of course she was raised Mennonite and then went through several phases of pursuits of God and truth and with her husband. And now, I mean, there's the occasion that she has a chance to talk to somebody, and they you know, engage her, and it's I call it the gospel according to Myrtle now. And but she just simply responds to them. She says, well, it's really quite simple. She says it has nothing to do with what we how we see and view God. The entire gospel is about how God views us, and that's all. And that's everything she shares. And everybody just sits back, their jaw drops open. Wow, that's really quite profound. That's really very simple. I've never heard anything like that before. And she says, well, that's it. So.
Well, and the thing is that, you know, the religious mindset would have people be put under condemnation with that thought, because God is viewing us and watching every one of our deeds and watching every one of our thoughts and our dreams and our actions and where we go and where we hang out and all this stuff and the music we listen to and the television and the movies that we watch and the books that we read, the magazines that we pick up, the websites that we cruise. But that's not how it works, is it? That's not the gospel's perspective, needless to say.
No, it isn't. And I remember when I first began to relay that message, is that, you know, that this is how God views us. And that was one of the questions. Well, that's what I'm afraid of. That's what I'm concerned about, is how God views me. And, of course, then with those folks, I was able to take them through just the basics of the gospel. And they were able to see that the way God views them certainly is not a thing to be dreaded. In fact, it is a thing to stabilize the heart and the mind and the emotions, and give you a completely different perspective on life, coming from a spiritual understanding that you are embraced. You are not only embraced, you are loved, and not only are you loved, but God believes in you. And that's something that's just been rattling my insides like crazy for the last couple of months, actually. And I kind of unloaded on the folks here in Canada with the whole thing. And they've been just delighted. I mean, they said, if I can use the term, spellbound with just really with delight hearing this phase, if you will, of understanding that, you know, we knew that the things that God gave to us was not by our faith, it was by the faith of Jesus Christ. But then the need to know that anything that is in us that needs to be in effect for us, which the thing that came out last night, and we made sure everybody understood, was that the way this came to us is absolutely equal. There is no different measure. It doesn't look different. It doesn't. It is not different in any measure or of any degree at all. Everyone is viewed exactly the same. Everyone is exactly righteous as anyone else. In fact, is as righteous as God, holy and perfect. All of this looks the same on the inside. But Glenn, when it comes to it being expressed, it is as different as there are numbers of personalities on the face of the earth, and the number of different fingerprints there are on the face of this earth. The way it is expressed out of each human, you see, you can't go and say, well, now this is how the gospel works, because it doesn't work the same for everybody. It does not express the same through everyone. And that is where that it is so amazing that the thing that binds us together is the thing that is absolutely unifying, and that it's all exactly alike. We are so exactly alike, we can now be individuals. And in the religious community, they turn that around completely. It's just like this with the sect that we're watching on TV, of this compound, this religious compound, looking for Zion or whatever it's called.
Yearning for Zion.
And look at the outside. Every one of them look, dress, act, walk, talk exactly the same.
Yeah,
now, the reason they do that on the outside, they try to make it uniform on the outside, is because they believe they're all on different spiritual levels on the inside. And that's the upside-down kingdom. The more you see people trying to act and talk and walk alike, the more you know they have no revelation. That is the degree of a lack of revelation of equality with God and equality with each other. Because when religion is imposed rather than a revelation received, religion imposed makes uniformity of the external rather than the internal. And it is the internal that is uniform. It is the internal that is exactly the same throughout the human race, all the way from God to Jesus to the most, whatever anyone would define to be the most insignificant person on the face of the earth. But that uniformity inside gives free expression to the individual individuality on the outside. It is one of the most powerful things that can ever happen, not just to an individual, but it also helps us to accept the individuality of other people. We accept their expression of freedom. We accept their expression of gospel. And because it's going to look different on all of us. It is just going to look different on all of us.
And, you know, it even manifests itself through people that don't know that it's Jesus. They don't know.
Absolutely.
They don't know it's the gospel.
Absolutely.
But when you have been established in the grace of God, ladies and gentlemen, and when you understand the gospel, you can see Christ in anybody. You can even see Christ in Christian people. That's pretty radical. And it's this whole thing about the uniformity issue, that is beautiful, because I mean, we're picking on the yearning for Zion people, or at least the way that they look and the way they dress and they act. But you go to any church and they've got the certain uniform that they wear. Some churches and religious groups have the guys in bow ties. Some of them wear black clothes only. Some of them have real funky hats that they wear on Sunday. Some churches, you know, it's cool to wear T-shirts. Everybody's in a T-shirt. The pastor's in a T-shirt. But everybody pretty much looks the same, and they talk the same, and they act the same on the outside. But it's the inside that's the same. They just don't know it yet, Michael.
Yes, and that's where that revelation frees us to intermingle and to accept and abide with one another in peace and in love. And, everything that divides us is the fallacy of that the externals got to be the same, whether it's race, color, nationality. I mean, look at how neutralizing that the most extreme religions on the face of the earth are, especially where women are concerned. I mean, you look through the Muslim countries where the religious sect has taken over, and you can't even tell. I mean, a man could dress up in a burqa,
I'm sure they do.
They probably do. But you would never know. You don't know what's under there. You know no age. You know nothing about that person because of the need for the uniformity.
You know how they choose their women in those burqa countries, right? How they know?
But I think I'm about to find out.
Yeah, by their hands, because it's the one thing that is shown. That's what the men. Choose their women by their hands.
Wow.
They haven't gloved their hands. This is Glenn Klein online. We're trying to unglove the restrictions of religion on people's minds and hearts, as we always do on the Gospel Revolution webcast. Michael Williams up in Kelowna, Canada, and we're waiting to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260 is the number. We want to hear your comments. We want to hear your thoughts. We know you're out there listening. 1-800-436-3260. Who will be the first to pick up the phone tonight and dial in to Sean O'Halloran? He's waiting to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260. Got a great question from our friend Christina, Michael, in Houston, your current home. She said, Michael, I personally believe in fate. My question is there a place for fate in the gospel? Good question. Good question, Christina.
Depends on who you ask. the issue of fate is, it is one of those things. And of course, the only thing I can do is tell you what I believe about that.
Let's answer the question first off. She asked a yes or no question. Is there a place for people who believe in fate, or we could say in the sovereignty of God and predestination? Is there a place for them and for that concept in the gospel? Yes or no?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And there's room for everybody who anybody's view and opinion
on anything. Yeah.
The thing that is that we rely on being powerful about the gospel is not that our views about God or about spirituality is the same, because even between the two men who's on this broadcast, we have absolutely opposite views on this very subject.
Right, and I think the dividing line, as far as we're concerned, is that whether you believe in total freedom, where you just it's your choice, you're free. It was for freedom that Christ set you free, or you believe in God controlling things, manipulating things, His sovereignty. The dividing line, Michael, seems to be that regardless of where you are on that scale, that the line is that God's response to us, whether He's doing nothing right now other than seeing us as righteous, or He's doing everything right now, that none of it, that none of the things that happen in our lives are dependent on some sort of spiritual exercise or some sort of good behavior or some sort of right perspective even. Some sort of prayer, and that seems to be where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, right?
Yeah, and you know, if in my view, if I believe as I believe, my belief in absolute freedom, and that there is no, that the only thing that was that fate brought us, if you will, to stick with the term, was that fate led the entire human race to the cross, so we could all be free. But you know what? Even if I am absolutely wrong, it isn't going to change the fact of what it is. I mean, just because it's the way I see it doesn't change it. Is it going to change it just because Glenn sees sovereignty in the degree that he sees it, and things in some situations at least being predestined or pre-planned or to some degree? You know, if it is all freedom, there's not any of Glenn's beliefs that's going to change it from being all freedom.
Right.
It really is just a perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I embrace the fact that mine is just a perspective. Of course, I believe it's right. But that is that's what you believe. You believe what you think is right.
Right. That's why you believe it, because you believe it's right. I hope that's why people believe things.
But, absolutely. But the thing of it is that we can absolutely disagree on what most churches would say is a major, major issue of doctrine, it will, and there be absolutely no division between us in our ability to share the gospel, because this virtually is not a gospel issue either. Whether God is or is not doing anything is not a gospel issue. The issue of the gospel is the revelation of the of what God's view of us is. And again, we go back to Mert's gospel. You know, it's just that simple.
Well, it seems like regardless, Christina, what somebody believes regarding fate or sovereignty or freedom, or however you want to put it. The key, Michael, is that we are somehow, in our minds, disconnected from a cause-and-effect religion. That's the key. If we uh-huh. think that we've heard from God about doing something, or that therefore if somebody doesn't do it or doesn't agree with us, they're going against God, or if we believe that if we just position ourselves in a certain way or behave in a certain way or pray in a certain way that better things will happen for us, that's where we depart.
Yeah.
And that seems to be, Michael, the key stabilizing issue, is that disconnect from our behavior having any effect at all in the way God sees us or the way God interacts with us or anything else like that.
Yes, absolutely. We in whether it is the view of freedom or the view of sovereignty, of the involvement of God or the God being involved in our daily lives based on freedom, or God being involved in our lives based on sovereignty, or any mixture thereof, the one thing that certainly neither myself nor Glenn would ever advocate is that it was based on a reward system.
Exactly.
You know, do good, get good, do bad, get beat. It is not, whether it's freedom or sovereignty, it's not God responding to man's actions
right.
and
now,
deeds
now that's
in a
not
positive
to,
or negative way.
That's exactly right. Now, that's not to say that bad behavior can't lead to bad results, nor good behavior lead to good results, but it's got nothing to do with God rewarding you based on your actions or punishing you. It's just, as Michael likes to say, a thing called life. It's just life. And we got to deal with it. It's, you know, sorry, I don't know what to tell you. But I do know what to tell you, that it's halftime at the Glenn Klein Online Webcast with the Gospel Revolution's Michael Williams, encouraging you to call at 1-800-436-3260. We got some more emails, but we'd like to hear from you live. 1-800-436-3260. Michael's up there in Kelowna, Canada. You're going over to the coast here next week, right?
Or this weekend? Yes, I fly over to, in fact, it's beyond the coast. I'm going out onto Vancouver Island, and my flight will take me from Kelowna, British Columbia, over to Victoria on Vancouver Island, and then Diane is going to make a jaunt. It's actually about an hour and a half drive down the near a little roads coming down through the island down to Victoria and picking us up at the airport, Ken and I, and we'll be driving back up to the Raphael Bed and Breakfast, which is where that it's located over the water, and we'll be staying there with them and also holding the meetings right there in their business and their home, their facility. It's a, you know, it's a beautiful place.
So if you are interested in or around that area, just go to the gospelrevolution.com website, and the phone numbers, the contact there is all the information. So enjoy, and we hope that you can take it. And we're going to be talking a little bit later about the Gospel Revolution Convention in Houston in November. Things are moving along. Thank you for your patience, as always, but we have some pertinent information, so you'll want to stay logged on for that. This is an exciting email that just came in, Michael. This says, "This is my first live webcast. You're all phenomenal. I am a medically retired police lieutenant who was on a SWAT team for 14 years and was a commander of vice and narcotics before retiring. I was called to preach years ago. However, after being baptized 83 times, and he puts LOL next to that, laugh out loud, he said, I never felt that I measured up. As a result, I have an amazing story of brokenness to tell. I cut my teeth on the charismatic movement, Sonship, Tabernacles, so on and so forth. Being a very gifted public speaker, I've been looking for a Bible school to attend, but there are none teaching anything that we believe. My question is, are there any Bible schools or internships available anywhere to give me what I need to help spread this true gospel? Thank you for your help and grace to both of you." And that's from Marks Mitchell. That's a nice email to get.
Was it Marcus or?
Marks. M-A-R-X.
Oh, okay, Marks.
That's kind of like Roberts. That's kind of a cool name. Cool first name.
Yes. Well, the answer is no. There isn't one that I know of, but there will be. In fact, I have a planning session with the people who are wanting to head up an online Bible school. I mean, we've just got so many plans that are in the pipeline here, and what that will be is that we'll actually be broadcasting a live Bible school, and of course, I'll have a camera, and if I have a guest speaker who lives in Hong Kong, they'll be, you know, speaking from there. It'll be just like us all being in one room, and we'll go to what is our normal format after teaching, and that will be to questions and answers. And this is all something that we're looking very much forward to in developing the curriculum. So do stay in touch. We certainly will be letting you know about it, the progress that is in that. That does cost funds. We've got so many people who are volunteer work, and it's not just volunteer work, but it's costing people. It costs people to do this broadcast, and we have so many dreams that we want to see fulfilled for everyone's sake, and one of those is this online Bible school.
Now, Mark asked about an internship, and we always have internships available at the Gospel Revolution, Mike Williams Ministries, Mark. No expenses paid. you want to volunteer, my friend? Get in touch with us, seriously.
Absolutely.
But in the meantime, as Michael said, stay logged on here and just go to the gospelrevolution.com website, everybody. If you're listening and you're not getting the e-newsletter, the weekly e-newsletter, go to the gospelrevolution.com webpage and just subscribe. It's right on the homepage. It's a very simple process, and that will keep you in touch with us, which is a beautiful thing.
Yes, absolutely. And where's Mark's from again,
Glenn? He didn't say. Maybe Mark's, if you're still listening live, if you could email again and tell us where you're writing from.
What part of the world are you from?
Well, I got to think he's from the South because he says y'all are phenomenal.
Yeah, sounds that way.
So you're the opposite of South right now.
I am.
Although you're in probably Southern Canada.
And I'm cold.
A little nippy up there, eh?
It is, just a bit. But I tell you, the people here make up for any chill that there is in the air, that's for sure.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Yes, absolutely. Well, now, you may hear just a little bit of conversation going on. I'm going to get Ken
Well, before
here.
Before you do that, Michael, we've got a caller on the line. Why don't you stay on?
Oh,
for
we do.
That.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and you're definitely going to want to hear from this guy, our buddy from Cincinnati, Gospel Revolution correspondent Greg Amberger. Gregory.
Hey, you guys got me a little bit depressed tonight because I was going to try to get God to work a miracle for me and help the Reds.
They need help. They just fired their general manager, so perhaps they're reaching out in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, well, let them know God believes them.
But
anyway.
You know, the Greg's team, the Cincinnati Reds, and my team, the Chicago Cubs, are in the same division in Major League Baseball, Michael, the Central Division of the National League. And,
right.
Greg, who's in first place in that division right now?
Isn't it the Cardinals?
No, I think you got to go a little further north.
Yeah.
The Chicago Cubs are the first place,
okay.
Chicago Cubs. So, according to what Sean said you wanted to talk about is fairly appropriate based on Marx's question about is there a Bible school, you want to know, where do you go? Is there a church?
No, that wasn't what I wanted. What I wanted to talk about was something my wife and I have been dealing with lately. I come from a very religious family.
Well, Greg, couldn't you just pretend that's what you wanted to talk about?
All right. I really called to talk about a Bible school. Is there some place I can go to learn more about?
Yes.
We need conformity here, Greg. We need conformity.
Greg apparently knows all about conformity, having been from a very religious background. Sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
No, that's
go
fine.
Ahead, please.
No. We just had decided recently that we have always it's always uncomfortable whenever we're at a family event or something else like that. The question everybody asks, and I didn't realize until I stopped going to church how many times I got asked, but it's where you go to church. Are you, you know, and I was a worship leader in a big church, and so everyone wants to know what I'm doing. And that question has just made every family event for the last 5 years very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because if I answer it incorrectly, it puts a damper on the whole evening's festivities. So we just decided we're going to start answering it honestly. And I just say nowhere. And then pause and let that really uncomfortable moment of silence go on. And surprisingly, nobody has asked me why. I want people to ask me why.
They don't want to know why.
but what I found out is I'm not uncomfortable anymore. Everybody else is.
Yeah, that's awesome.
One thing you could do, Greg, is ask them when they ask you that, are they aware of what the church actually means in the Bible?
And yeah, but then there goes the whole family event.
Well, screw the family
absolutely.
Event. I mean, you know.
I think Greg's wisdom is superior here.
Oh, now we're judging.
Here
we are.
Yeah. But I, you know, have you experienced this one time so far, Greg?
Several, actually. We were down in Tennessee for a funeral recently, and there were about 20 people sitting around in a, you know, in on chairs and talking, and this question got asked, and I just said, "Nah, nowhere." And there was just shock and horror on everybody's face, and nobody wanted to pursue it any farther, which I thought was interesting. I thought, you know, people would want to pursue. Why not?
All right. So if somebody asked you why not, what would you say?
Because I would say because I don't have a fellowship of believers except for this thing, which is not, you know, I call this my church, but I don't have a fellowship of believers that I can be honest with about what I believe. I would get kicked out of most churches I went to. I would love to go to church. I used to love to go to church. I loved hanging out with people, studying together, you know, worshiping together, that kind of thing, but I can't stand regular church anymore.
Well,
it makes me crazy.
It makes me crazy.
It does. And you know, I miss the fellowship part of church, and
yep.
You know, and I got to admit, in some way, I miss kind of being a star a little bit too, being up on the stage and playing music and that kind of thing. I miss that, and that's part of my. You know, the humbling of myself is not doing that anymore. I had a pastor call me this week and ask me if I was interested in doing that, and I kind of told him where I was, and he quickly got off the phone.
What did he say? Thanks, but no thanks?
Yeah, he was just, well, if you're in a different place, that's fine, and, you know, he's on to the next thing. Because it's very uncomfortable. I've got a very good friend who's a pastor, a Pentecostal pastor. And when I laid this out for him several weeks ago, I mean, we haven't talked since. I've been waiting for him to call me back.
Yeah, you'll be waiting a long time, my friend. Isn't it interesting, Michael, they have a psychological term for what Greg is describing. It's called avoidance.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, avoidance. That's exactly it. So anyway, I feel like, you know, I wish... Like the guy said about the Bible school, I wish there was a church for me to go to in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Well, if you come to the convention in Houston in November, Greg, which of course we hope to see you,
yeah,
then you'll be able to say, yes, I go to church. Once a year, I go.
Well, I go every Wednesday night. I go to the Glen Cairn Online Gospel Revolution Church.
and Bar and Grill.
Yeah, and Bar and Grill. So,
well, are you leaning towards coming out to Houston in November?
Absolutely. I'm trying to work it all out. My vacations this year are going to be Bonnaroo, the music festival in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And that's just because my son has begged me. And then Houston, hopefully.
Awesome.
Yes.
There's going to be a lot of people that need Jesus at Bonnaroo.
Yes, there are, and they already have them. They don't even know it.
Yeah, I know. On a mission.
It's a great thing. All right, brother. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Always great hearing from you.
All right, bye.
There's Greg Ambergy, ladies and gentlemen, Cincinnati, Ohio. And we did hear back from Mark Mitchell. He's from L.A.,
awesome.
Lower Arkansas, he says. In Kingsland, Arkansas.
How about that?
Nice, down in Ozark land.
Yes.
He says, the internship sounds cool. No expenses paid, that's cool too. He says, God's provided my income, but I know preachers can usually find some home-cooked meals.
Yeah.
And then he puts a smile next to that. All right, Marks, thanks. Be in touch, my brother. And hey, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. There's time even this evening. 800-436-3260. 800, we'd love to hear that, the L.A. accent. 800-436-3260. Here's an email, Michael, from Kathy Clapper. She says, if I desire to take control of my life, he will. If I desire to control myself, God will agree. That's kind of a profound little statement.
It is. Very good. Very good description of the fruit of the Spirit.
In what way?
In that God does what you do. If if you're doing it, God's doing it. So.
Well, and also, what I took from that, from Kathy, is that everything's a state of mind. If that's what you think, that's the reality.
And man thinketh in his heart.
Yep. And so the good news, Michael, is that the description of how God sees us is so voluminous between the prophets, what Jesus had to say, Paul's writings, and the understanding that we've gotten through all of this, is that's the thing that it needs to be focused on in the human mind and the human heart, we think, in order to bring people to the end of themselves, the end of their righteousness, the end of the cause and effect religion that is so destructive. And people are in denial in the church, as described, because they're not well. With people that are alcoholics or that are drug addicts or that have food addictions or pornography addictions, the reason that they stay in it is because they don't admit it. They don't want to deal with it. Any kind of mental illness, any kind of destructive pattern that, of course, starts in the mind, Michael, the first step to getting some sense of some semblance of freedom from that is just admitting it. And if people won't contemplate these things, it keeps them locked in a prison in their own mind. And the reason that people are ignoring Greg is because they're in denial. They don't want to deal with the pain, the very, very real pain that has been caused by their religious experience in their churches.
Absolutely. It's very true. Well, I wanted to let you know that we have on the other phone, on this line, the Most Holy Reverend Ken Vandeveer, former pastor with the Worldwide Church of God, who's traveling with me and speaking and sharing with the folks here in Canada. And Ken, are you there?
I'm here.
Awesome.
And hello to Glenn Klein.
It's good to hear your voice again, Ken.
I feel like I'm a lot further away, Glenn.
We're all in the same place in God, Ken. You know that. Hey,
right on.
Did you bring your Oaky from Muskogee Long Johns up there?
Well, I didn't, but I should have. But I did bring me an interpreter. Mike has to interpret for me.
Yeah, he starts talking about brush arbors and stuff up here in Canada, and everybody looks at him like he's from another planet.
Well, you know, Oklahoma, you know, it's a world away. But hey, have you found, Ken, that regardless of where somebody's from or what their background or what their accent sounds like, that the gospel has a little bit of a unifying force?
That's what I wanted to tell you, that the it doesn't make any difference where you're at, where you're from. The power of this gospel remains the same. I find the same consistency in Canada, in these beautiful people, as I find in Oklahoma or Texas or anywhere else. This gospel and the power of this gospel, when it's established in someone's heart, is exactly the same as what's in my heart, Glenn.
It works that way.
Didn't change.
It works that way even in places like Hong Kong and the Caribbean, doesn't it, Mikey?
Absolutely.
It really doesn't make a difference about the place. We've found the uniformity is on the inside, not on the outside and not on the location.
What are you doing? Are you, like, getting dressed for the meeting?
Getting dressed. Leave me alone.
He's getting dressed.
Okay, I hear his voice in the distance. We're on speakerphone.
He's hunting clothes.
Yeah, that's, he wants to. I'm sure he's looking for a meeting.
He's upstairs hunting clothes somewhere.
Of course, Mike and Ken have got the meeting tonight in Kelowna. They're a 3 hours difference from the East Coast, where it's approaching 10 to 10. It's just 10 to 7 there in Western Canada, Ken, isn't it?
Yes, sir. And some of our folks are beginning to arrive for the meeting, and so we're getting ready to share this wonderful gospel of grace and peace with everyone. But they're pretty well established, Glenn, in this gospel.
That's fun when you get around folks like that. It's always fun.
Oh,
but you got some former Worldwide Church of God people right there that you've been able to
connect
with.
Yes, sir, I do. And you know, that has been like meeting a brother. It's, Mike said yesterday, one of the gentlemen from the Worldwide came over and we were visiting, and he told someone later, he said, these guys were finishing each other's sentences So it's been quite humorous for him to see us get together, and we really have got not only the worldwide in common, but we got the gospel in common.
Yeah, I was going to say Herbert W. Armstrong would be so proud.
I hope he would.
Well, sure, you know.
I hope he would, because we've got some of the worldwide Church of God people that are here, and I do have a lot of things in common with them.
Sure, well, like attracts like. So if you guys were attracted to that thing in the first place, and then you're all attracted to the gospel, you guys undoubtedly have things in common.
We have it in common. We just really do.
So what you've been sharing with the people up there about, Ken?
Mainly my experience and where I feel like that my, just as you did, my basic teaching from a child, and how I was more or less, let's say, drawn into the worldwide, and then how I come to understand the gospel. And so I've been sharing that with them. It's like kind of the path that I've traveled to get to where I'm at, just as you would do. It's quite amazing. Each one of us has something special to add to the gospel.
Well, that's
and everybody has really enjoyed Ken's sharing not just his story, but also sharing some truth with them. It's really been good. I think he's been kind of blown away because it's almost like meeting the same people. You know, on the inside, they're all exactly alike. There's just not a difference between them. Yet, as we were talking about, their individuality is so beautiful. I mean, it is amazing to meet people who are so very, very different from other folks that you've met, yet there is something that is so much the same that it's just undeniable. And I know Ken has been to the point of tears of just witnessing this. It's been really a beautiful thing.
It just doesn't seem to matter. You know, the gospel, you just can't learn the gospel. It's freely given from God. And it's a heart gospel. And if we will get our intellect out of the way, this gospel can impact our heart in a way that's just unreal. And the wonderful peace that comes out of it, you know what I'm saying?
Ken, what do you mean by your intellect? Because if you're going to accept the concept of God and the concept of a virgin birth and a resurrection and all that stuff and a savior of the world, it kind of makes sense to my intellect. I don't know. Maybe I need further clarification.
Okay. When I talk about my intellect, it's the way that I first learned. I mean, that I was first taught of God.
I see what you mean.
And my perception of who God was, and I needed to move some of that because if I'd have just left it alone, the gospel would have impacted my heart, I believe, much earlier in a different, I mean, I would have just understood it earlier if I hadn't have been taught so many of the wrong things. That's what I'm talking about, my intellect,
right,
what I was taught. Those people that taught me that didn't really, they didn't understand the gospel, so they taught me what they knew.
Right. And Mike,
so I grew up with that thought process.
What I was going to say, Mike, we've seen people who have accepted the grace of God, but have not adjusted their intellect or removed, as Ken said, those previous religious mindset, and are still impacted by things like judgment and guilt and legalism and, you know, all kinds of craziness, which causes schisms, of course, as it always does. And what Ken is saying is very important, is that until people are willing to just basically have an open mind and remove or allow, as Ken said, those things that are freely given to us to take root over what really is our poisonous doctrines that are very destructive in people's lives, and it's not going to have its full effect. And that's where the Bible talks about being established in grace versus just having received it.
Having received it, and just believe, it's deeper than that. But Mike's right. It's kind of blown me away that I've seen so many wonderful people that are established in this beautiful grace. They've got peace in their heart, and whoo, how sweet it is for brethren to dwell in unity.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's a sweet place.
Yes, it is.
So, like I say, Glenda, this group has just kindly overwhelmed me to see the very identical spirit in these folks that is in me, and me never known them or never saw them before.
Mm-hmm.
But I see the exact same grace, and I see the exact same peace. And once we can accept that this is a heart gospel, and it will revolutionize your life if we can just move me out of the way, move Ken out of the way. It's not my obedience to law. It's not my faith. It's not my believing. Well, it's a gift from the Almighty God. And if we can just accept that and let that wonderful message and the peace that brings to our life, the world can be changed, Glenn.
Well, we're
sounds
seeing
like me.
we're seeing it. Like,
yep.
You're having a little of the inheritance or the earnestness of our inheritance up there in Canada. Can you imagine how it's going to be in Houston, Ken?
I am so looking forward to it. And the people that are with us on the webcast, it's like we used to keep the Feast of Tabernacles in the Worldwide Church of God. And when that group came together, it was quite awesome. And when this group of people that understand this wonderful grace, and to see all these folks that have the peace established in their life, it's going to be awesome, Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be awesome. And we will have a joyous time just getting to know and meet one another. And so I'm so looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is a good opportunity to talk a little bit about. We'll have a great meeting tonight, Ken. And we will catch up with you soon.
Okay. Thanks, Glenn.
Thanks for going along with Michael.
All right.
There's Ken Vandeveer getting ready for the meeting tonight in Kelowna. Well, yeah, I think this is a good place, Michael, as we wrap up this edition of the Gospel Revolution webcast, to talk about the Gospel Revolution Convention.
Yes.
And for quite a while, you folks, hopefully you've had it circled on your calendars, November 5th through the 9th. And here's what the situation is, folks, is that we have stepped out a little bit and have reserved rooms in Houston at the Marriott there, but we've got to commit to 30 rooms. And so what we're doing is Michael is taking pre-registrations up in Canada, and basically, Michael, when you get back from Canada, we'll have a fairly high level of confidence that we're going to be able to get that initial 30 to 50 rooms, and then we're going to unleash you folks on it, that we're going to get you the reservation number and the discount room rate and all that stuff. But, Michael, I guess the way to say it is that we just want to make extra special sure, because you folks who've been following this webcast and the ministry for a long time know that our financial position has been pretty precarious. And we just don't want to be hung out there, right, Mike?
No, absolutely. And, you know, the Canadian folks are already getting in their pre-registrations for their traveling. Believe me, we already have a number of these guys signed up that are, they're not concerned about. They didn't ask how much is the flight going to be and all of that. They just said we're going to be there, and they've signed up, and they are on their way from. We now have three separate provinces represented now in Houston. And so the one thing that we are going to probably have, probably the biggest problem that we'll have, Glenn, is a limited amount of space. And if this, with what we've seen with the response from the folks here in Canada, if that particular interest continues. Our biggest problem with this meeting is going to be being able to get everybody in who wants to come.
Well, that'd be a good problem to have. That'd be fantastic. But what we're going to do, folks, as soon as the hotel releases the rooms for reservation, we will let you know. And if you're, as I said earlier, if you're listening to the webcast but for whatever reason are not receiving the e-correspondence, please make sure you go onto the gospelrevolution.com webpage and subscribe for that. And then just stay logged on. You're going to get all the information. You're going to get information in the mail as we have your, hopefully, your correct address. And if you're hearing this, you've got phone numbers, you've got contact numbers that you can call. You can call me. My phone number's on the homepage of the Glenn Klein Online website. You can call Michael's office. Whatever you need to do to be kept abreast, and we'll do our thing on this side. But you get back in Houston next week, right, Mike?
I do.
Yeah, and then
we're going to finalize our contract with the hotel. And
so it's possible that by this time next week for next week's webcast, we'll be ready to rock and roll. You'll be able to register online.
Yeah.
You'll be able to call the hotel and make your reservation, and then you take care of your plane fare, and they have a shuttle from the airport to the hotel. It's a very nice hotel, the Marriott. And it's going to be great. I mean, it's Wednesday night, which will feature Carlton Pearson, and then right through Sunday morning. So just keep that on your calendar, November 5th through the 9th, and we will be in touch about all the specifics very, very soon. And like you said, Michael, if the response worldwide is like it's been in Canada, we are in for one heck of a hootenanny.
Boy, we definitely are, and I'm excited about it already, no doubt.
All right, well, have a great meeting tonight. You can be preaching about the upside-down kingdom again tonight?
Something like that.
Yeah, well, we look forward to hearing the CD.
We're going to be sharing for a while, so we all going to have something to do tonight, something to say.
Well, give our love to everybody there. And we'll talk to you, Lord willing, at the Creek Don't Rise 1 week's time in Houston.
Yes, that's right.
Back where it's warm.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to that part of it for sure.
All right, Mike. Thanks a lot. Want to also
thank love you guys.
Love you too. Want to thank Greg Ambergy for calling in from Cincinnati, and special thanks to Ken Vandeveer for sharing and traveling with Michael. Also to Sean O'Halloran, our engineer, producer, and call screener extraordinaire, and Kristen Shira, our studio audience. Say hello to everybody, Kristen. There she is. We're sold out here at the Glenn Klein Online webcast studios. Until next week, we'll be in touch. This is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!